Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza, and it's a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and, of course, that's Hetero's Day, so I want everybody to make sure that you're experiencing joy and using your imagination to imagine the great possibilities. Imagine yourself as Osir and do whatever it is that you need to do to make that a reality. It's a beautiful, as I said, Friday afternoon, and got a treat for everybody. I thank Natia that, you know, we have as a regular guest on Health, Wealth, and Divine, a brother who has really, really been a blessing just to myself personally and my family just by just sharing of the information that he shared, and we're very, very appreciative, and I know that you are too. That's why you're tuning in. I see the numbers growing and growing and growing, and I just want to say welcome to everybody that's taking time out to tune into these shows, to share the links, and I encourage you to continue to do that. But as you know, and the reason you're tuning in today is because you got word, you got wind of the fact that my special guest is back. Orwa, Dr. Hehi Metura in Comet is back as my special guest, and we've been doing for the last several weeks a series on the seven divisions of the spirit. You know, the ancient Chaldeans had a saying, know thyself, man, know thyself. And it is with that in mind that we do these shows to help us to get an understanding of who we are, and not just an understanding of who we are, but as a result of that understanding, that being the foundation upon which now we build our lives. And so it is with a great honor that I have back as my special guest today, Orwa, Dr. Hehi Metura in Comet. And if you're tuning in for the first time and you don't know who he is, never heard of him before, I guarantee you, after this show, you won't forget. He is he's been a member. He's a priest and a Paramount King with the Osiris Society. He's Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region. He's been a member of the Osiris Society since 1975. And he was appointed Orwa, again, which is Paramount King, by Shechem Meshechem Ra Un Nefer Amen, who is the chief priest and king of the Osiriset Society. Now, as Orwa, he's responsible for guiding the lives of Osiriset's members and the society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He's a member of the society's Carry Hair Priesthood, and he headed Osiriset's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University, and has recently received his doctorate degree. And so, with an introduction like that, I mean, with the just laying the foundation for the discussion, now you know why you're listening to our brother talk about the seven divisions of the spirit. He's also an author, okay, and has written an awesome book called African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. So many people have been actually named, thousands of people just throughout the diaspora and around the world have been named using the concepts and the instructions laid forth in this book, African Names. So we'll tell you how to get that too during the course of the show. But again, without further ado, let me move out of the way and get to my special guest for the day, Brother Orwa Hehi Metura in Comet, Doctor in Comet. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Great to have you back.
Shut up. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, my brother. It's truly an honor again to have you back. I look so forward to these shows. I get excited when I know that I'm going to have you on, because I know that my spirit is going to get fed, and I am so very grateful that, you know, you take time out of your busy schedule to do these shows. I mean, sometimes, I mean, you might have just gotten off a plane, you know, or just got back in town, and still make time to do the shows when it would be very easy to say, you know, hey, you know, I just got back in town, I'm tired, you know. But, you know, you always are very accommodating, and I really, really appreciate that, and I know that my listeners are as well. So, again, for those who have been following, you understand that we've been doing a series on the seven divisions of the spirit. And for those who are just tuning in for the first time, the foundation for this discussion has been laid in two previous shows. Okay, we've already done two previous shows. We're on actually part three. And although we'll give a brief overview, if you really want a more in-depth overview, definitely please go back and check out part two and check out part one and listen to those. And it will give you an extensive overview of what we're talking about and lead you up to and catch you up to where we are today. So, again, Brother Owa, thank you for being my guest today. Again, we're going to be talking about the seven divisions of the Spirit. But for those who might need just a brief overview, please share. You can start off by sharing wherever in the process you think we need to enter in at this juncture so that we can continue the discussion on the seven divisions of the Spirit, focusing this week, I guess, on the Cob and the Kibit.
Okay, very good. Well, to cut to the chase, we have two aspects to our being as outlined by our ancestors in ancient canon. We have that part of our being we call consciousness, which is the part of our being which is aware of things, is aware of things and processes things, etc. And then we have the spirit, which is a part of the being which executes. So consciousness sees what needs to happen, and spirit carries out what is seen. Now, spirit, though, being that most people who are listening to this show, their background will probably be in the Western genre of discussion about the spirit, is not just a monolithic entity. You know, quite frankly, when people in the West talk about spirit, they really don't know what they're talking about, because they talk about it as though it's just an entity, like a monotone, when in reality that spirit is really a symphony. There's a lot of different vibrations and sounds that all come together to make this one entity move. And we use the analogy in the past of a person going into a laboratory and say, I need some chemicals. And they go in and start grabbing stuff and mixing stuff together. And then when they get to heaven or hell, wherever they go, God or the devil, whoever they're talking to, will show them the error of their ways. Because it's just not chemicals. There's all kinds of chemicals. And these chemicals have different valences and different vibrations and different effects when they are interacted with or mixed with other chemicals. And you have to know that, otherwise you're going to have some problems. So a chemist is not someone who just plays with chemicals. A chemist is someone who's trained to understand how different chemicals work and interact and to safely execute them and use them to their benefit. So a spiritualist is just not someone who plays with the spirit or what is the spirit. A spiritualist has to be someone who understands the different levels of the spirit, different operations of the different levels of the spirit, and how we use, what aspects of the spirit we use to accomplish the goals that we need to accomplish. Everything in the world is accomplished through energy. What we call energy today is what our ancestors called spirit. Energy and matter are both what, and Einstein and his theory of relativity shows that energy and matter are really the same reality. Well, that's what our ancestors refer to as spirit. But just as we know that there's different vibratory rates and patterns to energy, then so too was there different vibratory rates and patterns to what our ancestors called the spirit. Because energy and spirit are synonymous terms. One group of one culture using one term, another culture using another term. So, since there's seven different levels to the spirit, and we also use the analogy of, imagine that these are seven different vehicles. Spirit is our vehicle of expression. Well, there's seven different major different vehicles through which we can express ourselves in the world. Meaning, and the we that's expressing ourselves is that consciousness, that divine consciousness, which is that which exercises and expresses itself through its creation, which we call the world of the universe. So consciousness, divine identity, self-identity, the divine self-image that we call our identity, our consciousness, expresses itself through its creation, which is the seven divisions of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And each level of spirit affords that consciousness a different level of experience. You know, the creation of the world, the creation of the world was for God to be able to experience its potential. And we used the analogy before of God being an omniscient reality. But omniscience means all-knowing. But prior to there being in the creation and manifestation of things, since there are no things, then God truly can't know anything, because you only know based on your association with things. So God creates the world, goes through the process of manifesting the universe, however term you want to use, in order to experience these things, hence to realize its full potential of omniscience, that would be all-knowing. So we talked about, briefly went through a descending overview of each level of spirit, and now we're beginning to work our way back up from the bottom, the seventh level of spirit. We're going to be more in-depth into the functioning of these different levels of the spirit from the bottom up as we evolve toward the goal of awakening our divinity. So each of us has the same destiny. We all come into the world, whether we know it or not, for one purpose, and that is to awaken the divinity, which is our true identity, to become that omniscient reality, to become that omnipresent reality, to become that omnipotent reality. And the only way we can become that is by growing, evolutionarily speaking, through the different levels of the spirit, learning how to access them and use them, and then to apply those skill sets that we learn through those divisions of the spirit toward erasing and removing sin, errors from our lives, so we can become the expression, the vehicle through which God expresses itself in its fullness. A divine man or a divine woman, or what we say, a God man or a God woman. So, the seventh division of the spirit. In the Kemetic system, it's called the Kab. And it's analogous to, or it's not analogous to, it is what is in English we refer to as the physical body. So, as we said earlier, Einstein proved with his theory of relativity that energy and matter are really one and the same. Well, the physical body is a part of the spirit, since because the physical body is a part of the energy-matter spectrum. And so the physical body is the molecular structure through which consciousness dwells on the physical, in the physical world. And the physical body of humans or people is what we call the human body. But the physical body of plants are the various different plant structures that are in existence. The physical body of animals are the very extensive animal structures that are existing. The physical body of minerals are the various mineral substances that are existing. So consciousness then comes into the world and dwells in these various physical structures on the physical plane. Because you can only go ahead.
I was going to say, when you say consciousness, it's synonymous for God, correct?
It's not synonymous for our true self, what we call the supreme being, yes.
Okay.
Meaning, consciousness is that aspect of, let's try to clear this up a little better. We said there's two aspects of being, as above, so below, consciousness and spirit. So in the realm of the supreme being prior to manifestation and creation, there is consciousness, which is the supreme being, speaks, breathes, thinks, whatever myth you want, story you want, line you want to follow, and activates spirit, which has been at peace or rest, and what we call a state of accept. And the activation of spirit or energy by consciousness is then the creation of the various forms that we call the universe. And that same consciousness which is indivisible, right? Spirit can be divided up and broken up into pieces. That unlimited spirit, which is prior to manifestation, when it becomes activated, it now begins to form into different aspects or different vehicles or different bodies, if you will, of spirit. But the consciousness, since it's immaterial, cannot be divided up. So that same consciousness that creates the world comes into the manifested world and dwells with forms that it created, the various vehicles, bodies that it created. And since it is immaterial, it cannot be separated. It's the same consciousness dwells in all things.
Mm-hmm.
But the things themselves create the illusion of separateness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you get in your car, right? You drive around in your car. If your car runs out of gas, you might say, "I'm out of gas,"
mm-hmm.
because you're identifying with the vehicle that you're traveling
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is you're not out of gas, your car is out of gas.
Right.
It's the same as in our language, we say, this is why English is really a bad language for spiritually scientific discussion, is that you will say, "I'm hungry." No, you're not hungry. That which you truly are, that consciousness you truly are, cannot be hungry because it's immaterial.
Mm-hmm.
The body that consciousness is dwelling in desires fuel or food.
Right.
If something falls on your foot, you might say, "Oh, my toe hurts."
Mm-hmm.
Which is an accurate statement because you can't hurt. But if you say, "Oh, I'm in pain," no, you're not in pain. The vehicle that you're dwelling in is in pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and this extended to a logical conclusion. You call yourself Duwanza. I call myself Wawa.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is what you are, who you are, and who I am are really one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
We just, that as our identity was dwelled in the body you call Duwanza, identifies with that body through its experiences. The aspect of the oneness that we are dwelling in my body identifies as Orwa through my experience. But the reality is we're one, which is ultimately, and we'll get to that as we go up the tree, we'll talk about the parts of the spirit that afford us these experiences. Because again, the role of the spirit is to afford us the experiences, all experiences possible, because it's through the experience of all things that I become all-knowing. Because
mm-hmm.
I know through things.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know, this is so interesting. I'm really, really enjoying this breakdown, and I want to welcome the listeners who are tuning in. And again, if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1 for Brother Orr while we're talking about the 7 divisions of the spirit. You know, I really appreciate this breakdown because I think for a lot of people, part of the confusion is when it comes to the spirit is that we've been taught, many of us who've been brought up in the rest, that you have a spirit, not that your physical body is spirit. You know, we've been taught that we have a spirit, and then when we die, that our spirit leaves our body. Okay, we've been taught that God is a spirit, that God is spirit. We weren't taught about consciousness, will, and energy matter. We were just taught that, hey, God is a spirit. Matter of fact, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we were never taught that, you know, about consciousness, will, energy, matter. We were taught that the physical body is the physical body and that spirit is something totally different, and that now, earlier in the discussion, you mentioned everything is energy, okay? So energy would fall under the energy-matter aspect of creation. But I think what throws a lot of people is the fact that because the physical body is visible, and we've been taught that spirit is invisible, you know, that we're not spirit, you know. And so I really appreciate the, you know, the clarification on that. But see, people need to understand that energy is invisible. You can see the manifestations of energy, but it's invisible. Gravity is invisible, but it would still fall under, because it's, I would, correct me if I'm wrong, gravity and all of the different physical laws that govern the earth realm, or the realm of Geb, and all energy would fall under the heading of spirit. Is that correct, Owa?
Energy is spirit. Spirit is energy.
Okay.
So okay. It's just different nomenclature talking about the same reality.
Okay.
So as we are
everybody,
saying,
this is going to be getting deep. So, okay, continue, my brother.
So as we're saying, the physical body is made up of molecules, meaning it's made up of mineral substances that are formed into groups, compounds, which become molecules, and then these different structures evolve, meaning through nature, into create a different form called what we call the human body. And I'm gonna focus on our bodies simply because, you know, we don't have really much time. But understand that it's an evolutionary process. What we call the mineral spectrum, or mineral world, is a part of our physical body. What we call the plant world is a part of our physical body, meaning the same function and characteristics that you find in plants, you will also find those same functions within the human body. That's true of the animal. Now, I'm not saying that, and be careful, be clear about the language. I'm not saying that we are a plant, or we are a mineral, or we are an animal, or that we are even human. I'm saying that consciousness, what we call consciousness, that aspect of God, which we call consciousness, that immaterial aspect of the Supreme Being, which is our true identity, evolves through these different forms. Not that the forms evolve. This is a very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness evolves through these different forms. The forms don't evolve, which is a different perspective, because we're taught in the Western world that the forms evolve, that somehow, somewhere along the way, some chimpanzee or ape or orangutan, I don't know, stepped into some green ooze or something and became a human.
Mm-hmm.
But it only happened, you know, it must have happened twice. It had to happen for both a male and a female.
For a male and a female.
We stepped in the same ooze at the same time. And that began, then they might have changed into this thing we call human.
Mm-hmm.
So either the green ooze dried up, or maybe, evaporated. I don't know what happened to it. But in the millions of years since that first one took place, it ain't happening no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you've been watching apes and chimpanzees and gorillas for a long time, ain't nobody seen none of them evolve into a human.
True, that's true.
So, understand the different distinction. The African understanding of evolution is that consciousness, our true self, that immaterial aspect of our being, creates a world with all things imaginable, an omnipresent, omniscient, and all omni-manifested world of things, and learns the experiences of each of those things by evolving through those things. So, and the true understanding of this, the functional understanding of this is that the human brain has within it and a reptile brain. And this reptile brain in the human brain is not a brain that was taken from a reptile and put in the human brain. It's a part of the brain that was dominant within reptiles, which has evolved and then inserted into the human brain. So you'll find the same kinds of function in reptiles as you will in humans, because we share this brain, which gives the same kinds of behavior or stimulates the same kinds of behavior. Not that humans were once reptiles, but that the brain, the human brain, is an evolutionary speaking, is an aspect that was migrated from the reptilian kingdom into the human kingdom. Same is true with the mammalian brain, or the limbic brain. So these brains are evidences of evolution in that as humans, as consciousness evolved through the reptile kingdom. It learned the lessons that the form reptile allowed it to learn, which are directed through the functionality of the reptile brain. The reptile brain allows certain behaviors to be expressed. And so consciousness learned those behaviors, and it carries with it the lessons that it learned. So as it then moves into the animal, the mammalian part of the world, evolution, it now begins to learn those behaviors that particular brain affords it the ability to learn.
And would you say that because when you look at the reptilian brain and the mammalian brain, we're talking about evolution here and how the brain and consciousness evolved through these different brains, which were probably millions of years apart, correct? I mean, you have the reptilian brain, then millions of years later, the mammalian brain comes on the scene. And for each particular function, wherever man was evolutionary wise, for example, or the reptilian brain dealing with reptiles and survival and, you know, that sort of thing, fight or flight, that type of thing, I believe is correct, but that would be an aspect of the reptilian brain. And then as man evolves or continues to evolve, or consciousness is evolving through man, then ultimately we come upon not just the mammalian brain, but then the not the prefrontal cortex, but the third brain, what would that be, the middle brain, the midbrain?
It's a cerebrum.
Okay. So there's obviously an intelligence here. There's obviously an intelligence at work here, and I just want to bring that point home, that through all of this evolving, there is an intelligence at work behind the scenes actually orchestrating the evolvement, correct?
Exactly. That consciousness that we're talking about, that omniscient, that all-knowing reality, is designing the vehicle that it needs for the next stage of its development.
Okay.
It's just like a bad analogy would be a computer scientist, or Bill Gates, let's just say Bill Gates, or Steve Jobs. And they started off with one computer, and they redesigned another computer to take another level of understanding and learning. And then they redesigned another computer. So the consciousness is designing the vehicle to meet the next demand for evolutionary growth.
Okay. Interesting. Anybody got any questions? All you got to do is press 1. My special guest is Orwa Hehi, Dr. Orwa Hehi Metarayan Kami. We're talking about the 7 divisions of the brain, and he's really giving us this awesome breakdown. Again, so we're talking about the Cob and the Kybit, and I hope you all are really enjoying this. I know I am. So, again, if you have any questions, please don't be shy. Just press 1. That was a good example, Brother Orwa. So intelligence, God, consciousness, has designed it so that for each level of or each phase level of development, then there's a particular brain needed for that. Ultimately, okay, as we rise through our evolutionary process, at some point, although we're focusing today on the bottom, at the bottom of the spirit coming up, ultimately, the goal is to reach the highest level or division of the spirit. Would then the observance of the 11 laws of God, I don't want to take the conversation somewhere else, but would the observance of the 11 laws of God spur on that ascension up the, I almost said the tree, but up the levels, up the, I don't know what another word is, I don't want to use the word tree, but spur us upward towards reaching that highest division of the spirit? Would that come about, that evolution or ascension, be brought upon by the observance of the 11 laws of God?
Yes. So let's not go there. Let's incorporate those as we move on. So
okay,
we're talking about the seventh division of the spirit now. Represents the physical world, right? So the physical world would be the law of Geb. And so the foundation of the physical world, or let me rephrase it. So to improve or evolve, spiritually speaking, that is moving up to the different levels of the spirit, one must learn to accurately or correctly utilize the lower divisions of the spirit. Let me rephrase that. So to move, we're talking at number seven now. So to move up toward number one, we have to first effectively learn how to use number seven. It's like a baby coming into the world, right? A baby comes into the world with the potential to run 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. But it can't do it at the beginning. I mean, Usain Bolt, did not come out of his mother's womb running down the track.
Right.
He had the potential,
mm-hmm,
which he's actualized, but it was latent within him. So he started, came
mm-hmm
under his mother's womb. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't
right,
even
true
crawl. He
mm-hmm
couldn't even sit up by himself.
Correct.
He had to learn how to use his body to do these things as he evolved toward becoming the world-class sprinter that he is today.
Mm-hmm.
So using, understanding the physical body, how it works, and learning how to use it is foundational to being able to develop the other parts of the spirit, the higher parts of the spirit, because you can only work with these other parts of the spirit through the physical body. It's
mm-hmm
like people say, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, or maybe some of your listeners, you might have some young people. There was the richest man in the world used to be a man named Howard Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Richest man in the world, richest man in America. I don't know which one it was. He created, he had a major company, was Hughes Aircraft. He developed jet engines back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when Howard Hughes died, he died emaciated because his body shut down on him. I forget what the disease he had, right? So all the money in the world could not help this man live on. So when your health is gone, your life is gone. So the important lessons of Geb, importance of understanding the health, how health works, how your body works, and giving your body the things that it needs to be efficient to its highest level of functionality. It's just like any other vehicle, any mechanical vehicle like a car. You know, a car will run efficiently if you give it the right fuel. But if you misapply the fuel that you give the car the wrong fuel, then it may run, but it's not going to run effectively and efficiently, and ultimately it's going to break down.
Mm-hmm.
So the important part of learning about the physical body is that it is our vehicle through which we cannot become a divine being, a God-man or a God-woman, if we don't learn how to take care of our physical body, the Ka.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a body made up of minerals, et cetera, so we have to make sure we fuel it with the proper elements. There are things which we can consume, should consume, which the body can use to get efficient and effective functionality. There are also things which we can consume which will undermine the body's ability. But if we don't take care of the physical body, you can forget development and cultivation of the higher parts of the spirit. Because it's the foundation. You only cultivate your spirit through your life on earth. If you don't have a physical body, you're not living on earth. Hence, you cannot develop your spirit.
You know, just you saying that is very, it gave me a very extreme graphic, you know, of the importance of really taking care of your body. You know, we hear it over and over. We've heard it 1,000 times, you know, your health is your wealth, your health is your wealth, your health is your wealth. But for some reason, when you just said what you said, it just really drove home the point that this body, this house, this seventh division of the spirit is where we're going to actually experience potentially, I mean, God moving and operating through us conscious, you know, and, you know, God needs us, like, you know, the law of mind says, to come into the world, you know. And so, you know, just you saying that just really drove home the importance of the Cobb, the division of the Cobb, and that how you aren't going any higher spiritually if you're not taking care of your physical body. That was very, very important, brother. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, so now that's the Cobb, the physical body. But as we were talking about, the physical body needs fuel. It needs energy. It needs vitality. And what gives the physical body its vitality is the sixth division of the spirit, which is called the Kaibit. Now, it's called the Kaibit in Kemet, but it's also called Chi in the Orient. It's called Sun Sun amongst the Akan people. It's called Prana amongst the Indus Valley tradition. So different spiritual cultures and traditions have different terms. It's Yutiwamuntu or Yutiwatungo. We have a different terms amongst the Zulu for different levels of the spirit. So, but the Kaibit is also called the vital body. It's also called the electromagnetic body. It's also called, aspects of it are called the aura, right? Because it is the energy body which fuels the physical body. The physical body develops in an electromagnetic spectrum, an electromagnetic pool of energy, which is what the Kaibit is. So we talk about electromagnetic energy, the energy that the world runs on, the energy that moves through things. It's the energy that the acupuncturist uses when he sticks that needle into your body. Structure. He's not hitting a nerve or a muscle or a tendon or whatever to effect the change in the body. He's activating a part of the electromagnetic spectrum or the Kaibit in order to stimulate the flow of this energy, because it's the Kaibit which gives movement to the physical body. It's also called the ghost, right? Because it's a shadow. If you see it, it has the appearance of a white energy field around the physical body. And people who've seen it many times where it burned at the stake or, you know, dumped in the pools or whatever by the uninitiated, because they were seeing this ghost. And, well, in 1956, a Russian scientist named Krillian created a camera which enabled this energy body, the Kybet, to be photographed so that now everybody can see it. If you can't see it naturally, quote unquote, through your natural eye, and under the right circumstances, for the right focus, everyone can see it. You just have to know what you're looking for. But if you can't see it naturally with the naked eye, there's a camera that can be purchased that will photograph it and you'll be able to see it. So it's the energy body which gives movement to the physical life. It's the animal, true animal of our experience. The creatures we call animals, animals because they move around. Anima means to move around. But plants also have an animating principle. Plants move. You sit a plant in the ground and you put some water 20 feet away, the plant will move to get the water.
Mm-hmm.
Put a plant in a room, block off all light except for one window, and the plant will move toward that window.
Mm-hmm.
A plant will go around a obstruction in the ground in order to get to the water that it's trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
That's movement.
Mm-hmm.
Minerals move. Rocks move. If you heat up a rock in the summertime, and the metals, we talk about metals, when this is basic science, metals, if you heat them, they do what?
Expand.
Expand, which is movement. Metal gets cold, it does what?
Contract.
It contracts, which is movement. All of these things are expressions, are caused by this animating energy, the Kybet. It surrounds all physical structures. Everything in the world, all Kab, all molecular structures, have an electromagnetic counterpart through which it interacts with an environment. It's through the Kybet, the electromagnetic body, that our senses, our sensations operate. You feel, not because you have a physical finger, but because that physical finger has an electromagnetic energy around it, a sensual energy around it, which enables you to touch something and, quote-unquote, feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof of this experience is seen through a number of different vehicles, situations. One is amputees. Many times when a person has a limb amputated, a leg or whatever, they experience what's called the phantom limb. What's the phantom limb? The phantom limb is what an amputee experiences when the physical limb has been removed from their body, meaning their leg is cut off. But they will report the sensation of, they will still feel the leg's presence, even though the physical leg is moved, has been removed. Because this electromagnetic energy, this Kybet, is this sensual energy through which all sensation takes place. Ultimately, it will dissipate back into the earth, electromagnetic. The sensation of feeling the leg's presence will also disappear. There are people who are able to affect change in plants through talking to them. Now, they're not talking to, quote-unquote, the brain of a plant. They're communicating through the energy body of the plant, the electromagnetic energy of the plant. And this is a well-known phenomenon. It's been documented, and there's been so many tests done where people have been able to communicate through thought. They wouldn't even speak. They could think to a plant, and the plant would respond based on that thought.
Wow.
All this is taking place through the electromagnetic spectrum because it's the energy which unites all physical things together.
Now, you know, what's interesting, Brother Orwa, is that just even thinking about the Kybit and just what you just shared concerning being able to talk to the plants and, you know, just the potential with that. And then we know about the brother who was speaking, who said that when he, who was it, Carver? Who was asked, How did he, you know, make and come up with all of these inventions and, you know, things that he was coming up with? He said that the plant spoke to him and talked to him. I mean, so just even just thinking about the Kybit, and that was years ago, that was decades ago with Carver, you know, just, and you don't hear about that anymore. But just thinking about just the potential that we have, just being able to tap into and utilize these abilities, like, being able to know what the Kybit is and how to, you know, optimally use the Kybit. But even with the relationship between the Kybit and the Kab, the seventh and the sixth sphere or division, could you talk about just even the because what we eat, even, then if the Kybit is the electromagnetic force, then and the energy, then we know that certain foods that we eat, certain lifestyle practices, which is done through the Kab, the physical body, can have an effect on the sixth division, which is the Kybit. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, everything has a Kybit. So when you eat food, if you eat an apple, you're just not getting the calcium or vitamin A or vitamin C or whatever that's in the apple. You're also getting the energy, the vibrant, the energy, the Kybit, the chi, what the Chinese call chi or the Kybit, from the apple itself, which nourishes your chi. So that the foods, the things that we consume, affect both our sixth division of spirit and the seventh division of spirit. In fact, both the Kybit and the Kab. But the only way it can affect the Kab is through the Kybit. Because once a person dies, once a person dies, the Kybit, as just as the phantom limb, ultimately the energy dissipates back into the world. But once a person dies, their Kybit separates from the physical body and either dissipates back into the world atmosphere or it kind of lingers around sometimes. That was the ghost that people see. Well, you can put all the apples and vitamin C and whatever you want into that dead body. But it ain't going to get no better. Because the Kybit is gone. So it's just not about the molecular compounds and structures and vitamins and minerals. Those are important. Those are the building blocks. But what moves the blocks around, what does the building, is the electromagnetic body or the Kybit.
Speaking of the phantom limb for a moment, I have a friend of mine who actually listened to the last show, and she mentioned that she heard you talk about the phantom limb. You referenced it in the last show, part two, and she shared with me that she had, you know, lost a child, and when the child was an infant, and that I believe, if I have it correct, she would hold and breastfeed the baby, I think, in her left arm, or hold the baby in her left arm. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she said that the child passed away. She was holding the baby when the child passed away. And that after that, she could still feel the presence of that child. I guess maybe even feel, I don't know if she said she felt the weight of the child on that, on her arm. And she was wondering, would that be a similar, I guess, expression, for lack of a better term, of the phantom, and she was referencing it to the phantom limb, you know, after the leg was gone, the feeling was still there. She felt that after her child was gone, she could still feel that, I guess, the weight of the child in her arms. Would that be a similar, I guess, expression of the Kybit?
Yes, that's the union between these two energy forces, two energy fields, right? So ultimately, this happens with everything. Every time we go through a separation, what's taking place is that the energy which was attached, is now being separated.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel the separation because the energy is no longer there, which made the connection.
Mm.
So the electron and the, but I want to, we're running short
yes.
on time, and I want to make a few. Oh,
I got 10 of.
Okay, I want to get this out because this is very important. Now we've been talking about we evolve through the electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum is the energy, the vital energy of our existence. Our ability to do whatever we do is based on the amount of chi or amount of ki or amount of prana or whatever term you want to use, that we are able to accumulate to utilize. Now, as we said earlier, there are things which adversely impact our ki.
Mm-hmm.
So there are exercises like qigong, specific exercises, and we can talk. We'll talk about those later. We have a new qigong system that Shekham is introducing to the world called the Raw Qigong, which is designed to increase the amount of our ki energy or our qi energy, which gives us more energy to do the things that we need to do. But there's also things in the environment that adversely impact. Right, we live in an electromagnetic spectrum world,
mm-hmm.
but the world has become polluted electromagnetically. And this pollution, electromagnetic pollution, or EMR, electromagnetic radiation, is having effects on people, and many of which have not yet become realized because it takes a while for these things to affect. For example, in microwaves are a natural radiation. They're part of the natural electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But the microwaves that occur naturally in nature come from stars light years away. So when they come into the Earth's atmosphere, they're so minuscule in terms of their effect or the energy that they really, there's no negative impact. But man has gone now and created his own intensified microwave radiation, which expresses itself through things like cell phone, things like Wi-Fi, things like smart meters, things like cordless phones, things like television sets. All these things that run these electrical devices are emitting, in many cases, most cases, these what we call dirty EMFs, or dirty electromagnetic radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are in such high quantities that they are adversely impacting our health. And it's just to the point now that there's been enough studies being done over time since the cell phone was first introduced without any kind of studies, right? When they want to introduce a new drug onto the market, we know the protocol. The drug first has to be tested in animals for a period of time, and if it performs effectively, then it's migrated into humans, where they do this controlled test and controlled studies and with controlled populations to determine the safety of the drug. Well, these cell phones were just put into the world without any kind of testing whatsoever, without any kind of regulation whatsoever. And now, some 20, 30 years later, there's all kinds of problems that people are developing, which are, now, there's all kinds, that means there's hundreds, thousands of studies now that have been done, which is showing 60% of which are showing the adverse impact, the biological impact of these radiations into and on human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in this country, there's no regulations. And we just buy the things and use them without any, nobody reads the book. But if you open up the manual, for example, for your iPad, it says, with a cellular antenna away from your body, another object. So it says you can use this thing with the cellular antenna away from your body.
Right.
And other objects. Cell phones. In the BlackBerry book, it says at least 0.59 inches from your body. Meaning you should not have this phone within an inch of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Smartphones. At least 5/8 of an inch from your body. iPhones. People put them in their pockets. Women put them in their brassiere. People put them in their pocket, their shirt pocket, their pants pocket. And there's all kinds of health issues that then routers, wireless routers, should be, the minimum distance should be 20 centimeters between the radiator, that's the router, and your body. And if you read the instructions in these books, I mean, on these devices, it tells you these things are not safe. It's telling you these things are not safe. Now, we talked about that there's been all kinds of studies, hundreds of studies. Let me just read some of the kinds of studies that they've done, some of the kinds of effects that they've done. Really. The World Health Organization is predicting that within the next 10 years, and maybe even shorter, there's going to be a wake up when there's a whole bunch of things happening. Term.
I know the word you're looking for. It's on the tip of my tongue. It'll come to.
That's the word. There's going to be a whole bunch of cancers in the world because of the effects of these microwave radiations generating from all these different things in the environment. And again, we're talking about the, in nature, the amount of energy that a cell phone produces, for example, of this microwave radiation, is 10 to the 10th time. It's like a quadrillion more powerful than what naturally occurs in nature. Microwave, these radiations, Wi-Fi, for example, the waves vibrate at 2.5 billion vibrations per second, bombing our bodies from everywhere. You can't escape Wi-Fi. If you don't have it in your house, your neighbor's got it. But it's not just the waves that's bombing, because the body is used to waves bombing, not as intense as these waves are. But remember, what's also being carried on these waves is packets of information, which is bombing our cells. And the cells are not designed. They weren't cultivated. They haven't evolved to assimilate packets of information. Right? When you send a video over Wi-Fi, those are data packets.
Mm-hmm.
That are bombing ourselves constantly. So, look at some of the symptoms and effects of these are some of the research that's been done that have documented that these are effects that people are experiencing based on this increased amount of radiation in the climate. So this is a pollution of the Kaibit energy. That's the point I'm trying to get to here. Because the Kaibit is, again, the energy which fuels our physical body. So if the Kaibit becomes polluted, then the physical body becomes polluted. And pollution is what we call illness. Acoustic neuroma, benign brain tumors. Addiction to mobile phones. That is becoming a big problem.
It already is.
Hyperactivity and tremors, There are people who are at, these are symptoms that people are experiencing from the effects of these, this radio radiation, this radiation from EMFs and cell phones, etc. Anxiety, nervousness, autism. There's a graph that they showed that, starting in the 1970s, it showed the increase of autism in the U.S. And then they superimposed the increase of electromagnetic radiation, these EMFs, EMRs, in the environment, and it paralleled the increase of autism. Not that there's a one-to-one correspondence, but again, the human body feeds on the chiabit, this electromagnetic spectrum. And the electromagnetic spectrum is polluted. It's being poisoned. Behavioral changes. Biology and biological processes are being affected. Blood flow and composition being affected. Blood-brain barrier, permeability, meaning it's affecting the amount of blood that goes into the brain, which is a problem. Blood sugar, insulin, diabetes, bone and bone marrow, brain changes to processes and function, brain cancer, brain tumors, cancer and carcinogens, cancer, breast cancer, cancer, childhood cancer, cancer, leukemia, cancer, lymphoma, cancer, melanoma, cancer, testicular cancer, children risk. Children are more risk than adults because children's bodies are still developing, not as hard as adults. And I can attest to that point because there's some hard-headed adults in the world. But anyway, children's skull has not tightened up. So what, whereas if I hold a cell phone to my head, it may only permeate 15% of my brain. It's going to permeate 60% of a child's brain.
Ooh, wow.
Central nervous system is affected. Depression, dizziness, lightheadedness, vertigo, driving, increased accident rate, ears, hearing, and tinnitus, electrosensitivity, sensitivity to EMR, epilepsy and seizures, eyes and vision, fatigue, tiredness, exhaustion, genetic damage, DNA breaks. They've shown them in mice, showing how when they prorate the amount of radiation that these mice get compared to what would be appropriate for a human being, they're showing that the cells in the body, the DNA is actually being destroyed. And the male testes in mice, they're showing that the testes are being destroyed. Not that low sperm count is also a problem, but that the cells in the testes themselves is being altered. It's going to adversely affect the man's ability to procreate. Headache and migraine, heart and cardiovascular system, heart effect on pacemakers, hormones and endocrine system, immune function, irritability and aggression, kidneys, learning, attention, concentration, liver, melatonin production. Melatonin is important because melatonin is what enables us to get a deep, restful sleep. And sleep, we know, is the time of our biological cycle when the body is being repaired, is being regenerated, is being refueled, is being renourished for the next day. So these cell phones and these Wi-Fi and things that people have in their, people sleep with these things under the pillow. And then they wonder why they're not getting good quality rest or they're irritable or whatever. Memory is being affected. Mortality and decreased lifespan. Nature, it's not just affecting this, it's also affecting all of nature, animals and insects. They've done studies where they're showing, you've heard the reports that they don't know what's going on with the bees. Well, they've done studies to show that where there's an increased cellular presence, like cell towers or Wi-Fi or whatever, that bees, the colonies break down. Oxidative stress and damage, aches and pains and discomfort, reaction time, slower responses, reproduction changes, difficulty with reproduction, issues of female fertility, issues of male fertility, prenatal effects on pregnancy and fetuses, skin, sleep, weakness, weight, And these are just some of the studies that have been done. There's all thousands of studies that people have been doing over the years, and these are the 60-70% of them are showing that there's a biological effect of being bombarded, our kibit being bombarded with this dirty electromagnetic energy. The kibit is electromagnetic energy. It's being polluted, constantly polluted by all these man-made vibrations, microwaves, cellular, cell waves, etc. So we talk about the importance of health, and the health of the physical body is directly related to the health of the kibit. Well, the health of the kibit is directly related to, we just don't have to worry about whether we're getting GMOs in our food or getting organic foods. We don't have to worry about the fuel, the energy, how the electromagnetic energy, the kibit itself is being poisoned by all the cell phones and things we have in our possession, on us. So we have to begin to become smarter, and there are ways to address these problems. There are fabrics and tools and things you can buy to block these radiations, keep them away from your body. Nobody's going back to pre-cell phone days. I mean, I'm talking to you right now on my cell phone. But I'm talking to you with a headphone set that has been proven to eliminate the effect. Because when you use a regular headphone, the energy travels up the wire straight into your brain. So I have a headphone set that I'm using which has an air tube, which means that the energy travels up the wire, but when it gets close to my head, there's no more wire, it's just an air tube. So the sound comes through, but the energy doesn't come through. The electricity, the dirty EMS don't come through. So there are things that we can do, things that we need to do, things that we have to do to protect ourselves, because the United States has no regulations on these energies, on these Wi-Fi. They're putting these things in on schools. And this will prove to you that the stuff is bad. Whenever there's a bad, a less than desirable substance or thing that is needed by society, in what parts of the community do they put it?
Well, it's not the wealthiest part, that's for sure. It would probably be the poorest part. The people, I would assume, that could probably be deemed as disposable if it doesn't work.
Exactly. In Montgomery County, the richest county in Maryland, they have Wi-Fi in all their schools. But all of the Wi-Fi towers, all of the cellular towers, are on schools that have higher numbers of African-American and Spanish-speaking students and low-income students. In the schools where the wealthy demographics are, they don't have towers there.
Wow.
In France and in different countries around the world, they're now cracking down and removing Wi-Fi from the school. They are passing laws where you can't have Wi-Fi in your school. You can have cable connections like we had before Wi-Fi, which are safe, but the Wi-Fi is the problem. And it's more effective on schools and more damaging to children than it is on adults because, again, children's bodies are still developing. The International Association of Firefighters is 100% opposed to cell towers on stations. Firemen live in these things, right? They live in there three or four days a week. They know that these things are putting out this powerful radiation. These cell towers, the closer you get to the tower, the more powerful the radiation. And right now in D.C., they're putting them in schools, public school grounds, on public school grounds. In the U.S., the U.S., there's no regulation and there's no pushback to this whole thing. Whereas other countries around the world, in India right now, people are in the streets protesting putting these cellular towers in their communities.
This is numbing. you know, this information is really, really numbing, and it actually just reinforces to me just the need for to really work towards being God men and God women, because the people that are making these laws and passing these laws in there, you know, the legislators, that people that make these decisions, that can do this, you know, come up with a plan to put these towers wherever they want to put them, obviously these aren't God men and women, you know. So it just reinforces the need for the God men and women, or those who profess and desire to be that, to do whatever it takes to prepare yourself, your kibbutz, your kab, and the other divisions of the spirit, so that God can use you. Because obviously, just the lack of God men and women in the positions that make these decisions is actually causing the world to go, you know, to just go awry.
Without a doubt. So we need to.
Yeah. Symptoms. I'm sorry. That was just, those were just some of the symptoms. Those weren't even all of the things. You just read some of them, and that list was long. And I know that there was more. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying, Brother Ova?
No problem. I'm just saying that we have to become and look out for our own health. So we have to expand. Now, we're talking about oxidative radiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same kinds of supplements that we normally take to deal with pollutants in the air, vitamin C, because the radiation also generates free radicals in the body. So we have to become, we're having a workshop on, well, this Saturday we're having a workshop on Ma'at, the principal Ma'at in D.C. here.
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock in our space on 3rd Street, 6224 3rd Street. The following Saturday, we're having a workshop on the equinox, preparing for the equinox, which will include our dietary regimen, a fast, which we use in preparation for the equinox, which will include the use of these substances that like vitamin C, et cetera, which is designed to address the issues of pollutants in the environment, et cetera. So we have to begin to nourish our kibbutz. That's by doing the qigong, adding more energy. We also have to protect it. We have to begin to clean it up from all these pollutants which are being forced in our system, which our systems are not designed to handle. We're not designed to take these kinds of bounces of radiation. It's destroying us. In 10 years, we're going to have a whole host of people who are coming down with all kinds of illnesses, cancers, et cetera, simply because these people are pushing these things on communities. And principally, communities of color. Everybody's affected, or everybody's got it, but communities of color are always more impacted because they are always deemed less desirable or less functional or less important or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And when you consider the fact that the people that are, you know, really getting hit the hardest with this might not have the best diet anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to be more open to be affected negatively by these frequencies, especially if they're not eating, let's say, a vegetarian or vegan diet. I mean, just the diet alone without the frequencies. If you have a bad diet alone without the frequencies, that's bad enough. But just imagine the bad diet coupled with the all these electromagnetic frequencies. That just seems like that's just a double whammy, and, you know, you just really getting a double blow. And this seems like that would just increase your likelihood of demise twice as much. So I want to encourage everybody to definitely make it out to the workshop that, again, there's two. There's going to be one tomorrow at the Simbeb Wellness Complex. That's going to be on Ma'at, and that's at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest. Write it down. It's 6224 3rd Street, Northwest. That's tomorrow, September the 10th. Okay, starting, did you say at 5:30 or 5, Brother Walla?
5 o'clock.
Starting at 5 o'clock. I advise you to get there early. Okay, don't assume you're just going to walk in late. You know, get there early to make sure that you can get a seat. And again, the following Saturday, that's going to be the Understanding and Preparing for the Fall Equinox workshop. Both of these workshops are free. Okay, same place, Simbeb Wellness Complex, 6224 3rd Street, Northwest. If you'd like more information, please call 202-723-5506. Again, that's 202-723-5506. Now, concerning the fall equinox or preparing for the fall equinox workshop on September the 17th, I've got a show in the archives, okay? Now, this show was for last year's fall equinox. The information concerning the fall equinox, this show is with Hekshem Suheru, Shekameh Abneter. He did an awesome job of breaking down the fall equinox and how to prepare for it, what it is. So I would want to advise you, encourage you, to go back into the archives, scroll down. It should be around this time last year, so you just scroll down back to September of last year, and you should see the preparing for the fall equinox with Hekshem Su Shekameh Abneter. If you're a member on Facebook of Optimizing Black Health, then that show should be posted there, as well as the Simbeb Facebook page. So, again, that show, Understanding and Preparing for the Fall Equinox Workshop, archives. It's, again, this was last year, but principles of it is the same. But the workshop is going to be next Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock at the Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street Northwest. And don't forget, definitely take advantage of the Ma'at workshop, and that's going to be tomorrow. And that's going to be at the Simbeb Wellness Complex as well. So, Orwa, you laid out a lot of information today, my brother. I mean, this was a very, very powerful, powerful show. Anything else you'd like to share on the Kaaba or the Kyber today?
Well, at some point within the next month, I'm going to be having a workshop dealing with this whole EMF issue.
Okay.
I just haven't organized it yet. I gotta plan it out and get some things in place. But we want to deal with it, inform the community, because this is a serious issue. We're all being assaulted, literally, so that Sprint can make money.
Hmm.
And he's not donating it back to us to pay for our doctor bill. So we got to do something about that.
Well, you know what, and I'm sure that in that workshop, you know, maybe you can share even about the earpiece that you have, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people listening to that the show today are going to be like, where can I get one of those? You know?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm definitely going to have some things. I have some bags that are being made in Africa with a special fabric that blocks the radiation. It also inhibits people from scanning your credit card. You know, there are machines people can ride down the street and scan your credit cards while you're in your house.
Wow.
You know about that, right?
I'm learning about it right now. I didn't hear about that one, brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
say
yeah.
What?
Well, yes, indeed. So I have these bags made which are designed to protect you from those scans, as well as the radiation coming off your phone, etc. So there's other things you can do in your house to insulate your house and protect your house. What people should begin doing immediately is turn their Wi-Fi off at night when they go to bed, because again, it's interfering with sleep, and sleep is the time when the body is trying to get everything repaired and fixed up for the next day. So if you're constantly being bombarded with this signal all night, then the body's not able to do the regenerative work that it needs to do in preparation for the next day. So everybody should turn the Wi-Fi off at night when they go to bed. That's the first thing.
Or
and
even
then,
in, I was just going to say, to add to that, don't even sleep in the bedroom. Take the TV out your bedroom. I mean, you know.
Well, the reality is, that's true. I was under the mind and said that you could just unplug the thing. But they're telling, mm-hmm. they're doing studies. They've shown that these things emit radiation even when they're unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these TVs.
Yep.
So there's ways of I mean, there are quote unquote safe zones, safe amounts of radiation. So the machine, I have a meter that I borrowed this one. I'm purchasing one. So I'm going through my house and seeing where the hot spots are, so that we can begin to address it and get the signals down into quote unquote the safe zone. And the safe zone mm-hmm. is not the natural zone, but it's a zone that most people are saying is relatively safe. Some people are saying mm-hmm. it should be even less than this quote unquote safe zone is.
They're probably right.
I mean, because again, in nature, you go out into there's places in nature, like there's a place in West Virginia that this person was telling me about, where you can't have cell towers, right? So it's off the grid. And it's off the grid because they have a very powerful telescope up there that they use to look at and measure the microwave radiation, the light radiation coming from stars. And if the cell towers around, cell phones, whatever, and if they hear it on their telescope,
mm-hmm.
so it interferes with mm-hmm. their reading. So there are places where, you know, people who are designing and people are creating safe zones which are devoid of these kinds of signals, because everybody's understanding that this stuff is dangerous. And the government, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, then I got to go. You know, you heard of Lords of London, right?
Lords of London?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lords of London is one of the largest insurance companies in the world. They insure everything. They insure Tina Turner's leg.
Mm-hmm.
They insure people could be jumping over the Grand Canyon or whatever. They'll insure anything. They came out with an exclusion several months ago where they're excluding from coverage any health issues related to microwave radiation or electromagnetic radiation or EMF. So they know that they're killing us, and the insurance companies are setting it up so that they're not going to pay for the illnesses.
Well, you know what? I'm not surprised at that, but I would think that they would even fight even, because you would definitely have to prove it. You know, if they're going to say we're not even going to insure it, you know, even if they did insure it, you would have to spend so much money just trying to prove that, you know, that was the cause of death, that
you might just say, happening.
You know what, I ain't even got the money to fight it.
Yeah, it's happening. There are cases in court all over the world, in the U.S. as well, where people are challenging these issues relative to illnesses that they have, brain cancers, et cetera. There's one here in D.C. Superior Court where a group of people are trying to get compensation for brain cancer that they got from cellular exposure. So people who work near these towers, these towers are generating all kinds of energy. I was told about this guy this woman wrote this book about her son. Her son started working at this place that had all these cellular towers.
Mm-hmm.
In 6 months, the boy had cancer and died.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Man.
So what about
the brother? And I'm going to let you go. I can't think of his name is me right now. What about the brother? He wrote this book, Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? The lawyer, he's a black lawyer, very, very, he was owner of Beatrice Foods.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
Reginald
the brother?
Lewis.
Yes, Reginald yes, Lewis. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. After he got his cell phone back in the day, ended up not long afterwards dying, I believe it was a brain tumor, wasn't it?
Right. And yeah, back in the early days, them bad boys were really pushing out some radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed on that phone.
Wow. Well, Brother Orwell, we could go on and on and on and on. You've actually gone over the time. You've given us more time than, you know, you agreed to do, and we got an extra treat. I just want to thank you so much, again, for all of the work that you're doing to spread this information. I look forward to getting information about the workshop that you're doing. I definitely want to come have you back on, and we can discuss that, if you like, when your time permits, to be able to share this information with the family, and, you know, letting everybody know when the workshop's going to be so they can take advantage of that. And just for all of the work that you've been doing, I mean, this information concerning the seven divisions of the spirit is, I mean, I've learned a lot just today, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen to this show at least three times, because I guarantee you, you know, you're going to get something else out of it after you listen to it again. And please share it with the people that you know were not able to tune in. I mean, if you are enjoying this information, I mean, if it's something that you like, I mean, it's like food. I mean, if you were eating something and it was really delicious to you, you know, and you really cared about somebody, you would offer them some. You'd be like, yeah, you need to taste this, you know. So I encourage you to share this information with the people that you know would love this information, because we're trying to make this world better, and God needs us to come into the world. That's the law of Ma'at. You know, God needs us to come into the world, and fulfilling God's need is the highest act of love. If we have more God men and God women in the world, just think about the problems that Brother Orwell shared today that we're dealing with, just even concerning the EMF. Can you imagine just how that, just our presence could really reduce the effects of some of the things, the ills that are plaguing humanity today? So I just encourage you to share this information with somebody that you know. Brother Orwell, great show, awesome information. Any closing words for our listeners?
No, let's just see you next week.
All right. Well, again, everybody, I want to say thank you so much, Brother Orwell. Thank you so much for your time, my brother. I encourage everybody, don't forget, workshop tomorrow at the Osiris Set in D.C., that's the Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest. And that's going to be, they're going to be talking about Ma'at. That's the, again, that was the law that I quoted. God needs us to come into the world, and fulfilling God's need is act of love. Make sure you get out to that workshop tomorrow, Saturday, September the 10th. And the following Saturday, there's going to be a workshop on understanding and preparing for the fall. That's going to be on September the 17th, same place, the Simbeb Wellness Cafe, I'm sorry, Simbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest Washington. For more information, please call 202-723-5566. Everybody,
okay,
I want to thank you for your time. Thank you so much, Orwell Hetep.
Take care. Thank you, Hetep.
Everybody, that is Orwell Hehi Metura in Comet. And he's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. We're in the midst of a awesome series on the seven divisions of the spirit. I hope you learned a lot today, because I know I did. I was really, really chewing this food today, and it was truly delicious. And I'm glad that I can share it with you. And since I shared it with you, won't you share it with someone else? All you have to do is just share the link. If you got it on Facebook, all you have to do is just click share, and, you know, other people can, you know, benefit just as we're benefiting from it. So, again, I want to thank you so much for your time. There are tons and tons of archives. We did shows with Orwell on the 11 Laws of God. You can scroll down the archives and find those shows. We did a show with him on the I Ching called God Knows Best. You can scroll down the archives and find that. Did a series with Orwell on the Asante. I believe it's called the Asante. Okay. We were looking at the Asante kingdom and actually looking at how they did, what they did, and the principles that governed them, and how we can actually benefit from those and applying those principles today. So scroll down for that. We've got shows, as I mentioned, with Hekshemsu Heru, Shekhameyam Neter, on the fall equinox, understanding and preparing for the fall equinox, and other shows with Hekshemsu Heru. We've got shows with Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah on Qigong, Family Wellness. Please scroll down and check those shows out. Got shows on Holistic Health with Brother Coy Dunstan, Dr. Ruby Lathan. The list goes on. So speaking of Dr. Lathan, let me share a couple of workshops she's got coming up. For those vegetarians and vegans out there, Dr. Lathan is hosting a men-only workshop just for men, okay? It's a just for men only cooking class, vegan cooking class. That's going to be on September the 25th, okay? And that's going to be starting at 3 p.m., okay? From 3 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, September the 25th, it's a just for men only vegan cooking class, okay? Now, on Sunday, October the 9th, there's going to be another cooking class that she's hosting, and it's called Easy Vegan Cooking Class. That's going to start from 3 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, October the 9th. Now, if you'd like more information, because I know you're going to need to know where you're going, where is that, and all of that, so this is the number to call, 202-709, that's 202-709-7829, and that's, again, the Vegan Cooking Class on October the 9th, and the Just for Men Vegan Cooking Class on September the 25th. Everybody, I just want to say thank you. It is truly an honor for me to bring these shows to you. I love sharing information with you. This is what I do. Who am I? I am the one that in giving receives more. Who are you? Thank you for your time. Head to.